So, good evening, everybody. It is Thursday, August 3rd, 2023. This is Critically Thinking with Dr. T and Dr. P. Welcome, everybody. Remember that we are sponsored by Cardio Miracle, cardiomiracle.com. Go to cardiomiracle.com and get your CT15 code for 15% off your first order. And don't forget about EMF SOL. Email them and ask them for a free home assessment, and think about what products you might want to try to see if it in fact does improve the energy in your home, in your sleep, in your attitude, in your behavior. So don't forget to look at that as well. And of course, Dr. T, I'm wearing a Yankee championship t-shirt today because I couldn't wear both a Met and a Yankee shirt, so I just chose my Yankee shirt. And this is their championship from I think 2000 when they beat the Mets actually. And sadly, the New York baseball teams are in the gutter. They're in the toilet. Even though the Yankees are like 4 or 5 games over 500, they're in last place. And the trading deadline was Tuesday, August 1st at 4 p.m. or 6 p.m., and they did nothing.
Wow.
They did not trade away any players. They did not trade for any players. They did nothing to improve their team. They are a mediocre team at best, and the fans are up in arms. The Mets, however, I don't know if I ever shared this with you, but they have a payroll this year of an unprecedented $348 million, the highest payroll in the history of baseball. And
History of
they,
baseball?
in
Like
the
all the teams in the history of baseball?
ever, they have the
Wow.
highest payroll. And they were about 5 to 7 games under 500. It was very clear that the team wasn't doing much. And they had a fire sale. They got rid of their two top pitchers. They got rid of their left fielder. They got rid of their right fielder. They got rid of their top reliever. They had an absolute fire sale. And so the Mets owners actually said that chances are we won't be competitive again until 2025.
Oh my goodness.
So they're basically regrouping. $348 million payroll. And some of the players that they got rid of actually had, one of them had a 2-year contract worth $86 million. They traded him to the Justin Verlander. They traded him to the Astros, back to the Astros. And they're paying most of his salary. Max Scherzer, who had, I think, 40, 50,000, 50 million left on his contract. They traded him to the Texas Rangers and are still picking up $35 million of his salary. So not, they got rid of these guys, but they're paying for most of their salaries.
Can that
No.
be? Does that ever happen in any other industry?
Yeah, there are other sports where the team trades away only if they agree to pay part of their salary, because most often their salaries are prohibitive. You know, Texas is still a small market team. One of the guys went to Houston, small market team, and they can't pay $43 million a year. So it's
You know,
just.
Larry, explain to me, because you're the sports guy, why does anybody, and it doesn't matter if it's baseball, basketball, football, soccer, whatever it is, hockey, what makes them be worth that much money in income? Do they think it's because they're going to deliver that many wins, that many people are going to come and see them? Because they're not like rock stars or musicians where people know them by name, and so they actually come just to watch them, like as if it was Celine Dion or whoever, those sorts of people. How do these people command that level of income?
Well, if you go back in the history of even baseball, there were baseball players who were making $50,000 a year, and that was considered an enormous amount of salary. So it wasn't until the late 70s, I think, when anyone made close to $1 million. So the game has continued to go up. Owners were making more and more money. Owners were seeing all the premier players and outbidding other owners. So the owners started outbidding themselves. You know, so a player would go as a free agent and maybe go to three teams, and they would pit one team against the other. And it was always the wealthier teams that could pay the higher salaries. So you started seeing major ballooning of salaries. But the players figured out that the owners were making more money than God, and the players were getting nothing. And so as the players got more elite, and as the owners started outbidding each other, the salary kept going up. And, you know, I mean, you look at the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks have been a pitiful team for decades, and the owner is a pitiful owner, and they haven't had a good team for years, but the fans keep selling out the Madison Square Garden. So the owners are making all this money. Why would they not continue to put some money into the team, but not too much, but they'd pay the salary up to a certain point? Now there are basketball players, Sherry, that are making $50 million, $45 to $50 million. And there's a free agent with the Anaheim Angels, or the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, used to be called the California Angels in real time. They have a player who's both a pitcher and a hitter, who's a unicorn. I mean, he's just a unicorn. And he will probably...
Meaning what?
I mean, he's just a double, triple threat. No player pitches as well as he does and hits. He has the most homers in the league right now.
Oh, wow.
He's just an amazing... Shohei Ohtani from Japan. He's probably going to get upwards of $550 million for like a 10-year contract because the market demands it. The market allows it. And... you know, he's going to be the next highest paid player. So each owner decides to make the next great player the next highest player. And what often happens, and this is almost always the case, as soon as a player signs that whopper of a contract, their performance goes exponentially down.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. They get injured. They just don't hit as much. I mean, there's a Philadelphia Philly guy named Trey Turner, signed a $300 million contract, and this was his first year with them.
Do you think it's because now they don't have to perform because they've already won the prize?
Most likely.
Wow.
Most likely. Yeah, I mean, it's quite interesting to watch. You know, in sports where there are salary caps, you don't see this as much. But there is no salary cap in baseball. There is a luxury tax. So teams that have payrolls above, I think, 280-something million dollars, they pay a salary tax on every dollar above that amount and get penalized. The Mets are going to get trashed in luxury tax, but their owner is a hedge fund guy. And today he's getting trashed. He's just getting trashed because, you know, he promised to come in and do something different than the previous owners, and he's bombing. You know, they had 101 wins last year, and this year they're lucky if they get 70 wins and 92 losses.
Wow.
It's bad. They had a fire sale. They have nobody good on the team. Well, they have some good players, but they have no pitching staff. And the Yankees have no pitching staff. One of their leading pitchers just signed into an alcohol abuse treatment center. I mean, it's just they barely have any players that are hitting. Everyone's striking out.
This should be the year the Cleveland Guardians move up because they always get smashed by the Yankees.
Yeah, well, the Yankees are probably not going to make it to the playoffs. And Cleveland is in second place in their division. But the team that's above them, the Minnesota Twins, is like two or three games above 500. And Cleveland is at 500. So it's not a big division. They're just going to get eliminated very quickly. You have a lot of good teams. Like your Baltimore Orioles are really good this year. Tampa Bay Rays are really good. Toronto Blue Jays are really good. Even the Red Sox are beating the Yankees in the standings. And then you got the Texas Rangers and the Houston Astros. It's parity, but boy, the New York teams got trashed this week at the trade deadline. So, my heart. So anyway, I need more than a cardio miracle at this point.
It's really hard.
So what's going on? It's been 2 weeks. I'm sorry to say that people were really, really mad that we weren't on.
They were so angry.
I'm like, come on, guys. We're always here.
I know. I actually wrote a comment on one person. They said they couldn't believe that they got stood up because they were waiting. It was like, you know, this is the one time in what, 3 years, Larry, that we didn't do a critically thinking play a rerun or something like that. People were so mad.
I know, which I have to say, thank you. I'm honored that you have such
loyalty.
And I'm honored that you look for us each week. And I hope you can have some empathy and compassion for us just to take an hour off in our week to, you know, just not be on stage. That's all. But I hear you. I'm sorry if we made you mad. I'm sorry that you missed us and we missed you too. And we're grateful to your loyalty. And I'm glad you're back. And please, let's move forward from here. It is the first week in August. It is the beginning of the fall season, because we can feel it already in the summer, in the air. The air is starting to get cool in the Northeast. So it may not be fall as in what they tell us it is, but the fall season is beginning and you can feel the cool air. And yeah, summer's almost over. We got about a month left.
No, it's not almost over. Stop saying that. We've got all of August, all of September, all of October, as far as I'm concerned. And I don't feel the coolness in the air. It's been the 80s every day here. It's been sunny, beautiful. You know, when I start knowing that fall is coming, Larry, I mean, you've not visited me. You've not been to my house yet. But when you go out the back of my house across the yard, there's kind of a drop down to like a
plateau area. Then there's
a creek. And when I start knowing that it's fall is on its way is when the little tree frogs start chirping and when the crickets start.
Okay.
I grew up way out in the country. And in August, there was a change in the air and the smell in the air. But what you noticed more than, because things were being combined and you could smell the combined stuff in the air, but where you really noticed it was the crickets. You start hearing the crickets at night. But it's been beautiful.
Crickets or cicadas?
No, they're crickets, I think. Okay. And they're crickets. And they, you know, but I've been sitting outside, you know, I have a hot tub and a little fire pit outside on my back patio. So I get in the hot tub and then you get really hot and then it's like sitting out by the fire pit and I got the music on, I have a glass of wine. Temperature's like 78 degrees, full moon. I'm telling you, the last 5 nights, I could have sat out there all night, absolutely all night. It was
turned into a prune. Not
sat in the hot tub all night. On the back patio all night. Listened to the music and had the fire pit going. Tegan was sitting in my lap. Maybe I can do this. Can I show a picture?
Sure.
See if you guys can see this. Here. Whoops.
And then the demo.
Can you see that?
Lift the center more
because I need to take the. Wait a minute, I got an idea.
The trials and tribulations.
Yes, let me see if I can take the. Come on, where'd you go? And I'll take the blur off the back. You see that?
Is that a UFO?
No, that's Tegan sitting on my lap in front of the fire pit, and that's a full moon in the background.
Whoa.
And
look
then,
at the profile of Tegan.
And then that's the full moon.
Got it.
Yeah, that
this was 2 days ago.
That was 2 nights ago. Yep.
Yeah.
It was so nice. And then this, see this? It says, give it to God and go to sleep. Now, Michelle bought me that for Christmas a couple of years ago, and it was black. And so I had to wait until I got the patio and stuff done. And so it's like, I'll make it a little bit bigger. It's like that. And so I painted it. I painted it silver. I just went to Drug Mart, got some silver paint, just painted it. So when I hung it on the wall, you could see it better, right? And so when it's a really, really sunny day, when it's really super sunny all day long, when you go to bed at night, and we'll see if I can find that picture really quick, that silver paint absorbs the light.
And glows.
And it glows in the dark.
Nice.
Let me see, where is it? This was a couple of nights. Well, this was last couple of weeks ago, a couple of weeks
nice.
Ago. Sitting outside with that. And I have a little fountain out there. See that?
Look at this.
That was at night. And then right above one of my little lights out there, there was a bird's nest that had robins in it, 3 robin's eggs. And so I looked it up. I didn't know this. From the time a robin hatches out of its egg till it flies is 14 days.
Okay.
And the life expectancy of a robin is 2 years.
Wow.
I didn't know that. And I'm going to show you one more thing because this is a show and tell tonight.
I was going to say, you're taking the place of Zillow.
I don't know what Zillow is, but so this was a couple weeks ago in my front yard. Those were my lily plants. They were over 6 foot high and there was more than 100 blooms.
Wow.
And remember that critically thinking night a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, when it like rained really, really hard?
Yes.
You know, and all that. Well, a lot of them fell because they're top heavy. They fell over and I cut them down and I took them in the house. And when I took, just to give you relativity of how big they are, that's a picture with my hand. That's how big the trumpet lilies
wow,
were.
Wow.
You can see how big that is compared to my hand. That's one flower. That's one trumpet lily right underneath it. So I brought them all inside. So
I want you all to know that
it's my new lilies that are just coming into bloom. And that is that's one of my 5 butterfly bushes. So yeah. And that's 2 of my other butterfly bushes. So it's the joy of my life, Larry. I love to go outside. And this is right outside. You know, they've got 3 different like flower things out there sitting outside. So it's like, it's such a cool thing to go outside every day. You know, with all the work that we do all day long, you know, you do and I do, and we're sitting inside and all this stuff, to be able to go outside and just, here it is. This is the one I was looking for. This was after this had gotten a full bunch of sunlight all day long, how it glowed in the dark.
Wow.
Yeah, it just glowed in the dark over there. So I just picture it. It's like that. There's no lights or anything around it. It was just glowing in the dark. So, you know, to go outside and to mess with my flowers and, you know, water them and trim them and pull the weeds and do all that stuff. It's just, and you know, your hands get dirty and you got your feet in the dirt and it got the music on outside because I got music speakers outside on the front. It's just, It's been a wonderful summer because it's been nice. You know, we've had a really beautiful summer. I mean, like we never really had a winter. In March and April, it's been really nice all summer long with all these different crops of flowers. I didn't even show you all of them, but just these different crops of flowers. You know, just as this one is dying out, this one's coming up, and this one dies out, and the next one comes up. It's just been just such a pleasure. It just brings me so much joy to be able to be here and to be able to see it and go out and play with it and all that stuff. It's been really pretty nice. Cool.
Very therapeutic.
Yeah. So thank you for letting me share it.
Thank you for sharing with us. And I was going to say, y'all should know that Dr. T often shares with the five docs pictures of her garden with all the flowers. So we are all privy to the beauty that she's
Well, and those trumpet lilies, you know, you saw it with the size of my hand, you know, mm-hmm. So there were about 100 of them and more than 6 feet tall. So kind of the whole neighborhood smelled like lily. And when the one broke off and I put them in two different vases on my kitchen counter and they stayed for almost 2 weeks. And so the house just was so fragrant, was smelling like these beautiful flowers. And it was, but I'll tell you a funny story because, you know, you got this sort of nature thing, right? Got this great big clump of these 6 foot tall trumpet lilies. Well, when about a third of them fell over in that big storm and broke off, you know, they all were kind of depending on each other to hold each other up. Mm. And so as that about a third fell over, and then there was more and more that were just sort of like falling over because it didn't have the support of the group. So, I mean, that was just such a message to me, you know, when you have to have the support of the group. So I took a bungee cord and I went and I wrapped it around about a third of the way to keep them holding up because there were still some pods that needed to come, you know, open up into flowers. So I was out there and I was wrapping around it and I was doing all stuff. I came in the house and the pollen from those trumpet lilies had made my hair bright orange. Bright orange, and it took 3 days to wash out. It was like bright orange. I was like, holy cow. I mean, you know, so I'm combing it and doing 3 days wash to get the pollen, that bright orange, out of my hair. But it was just such a kind of a lesson from nature that they had grown up together. They were all there supporting each other. And when some of them were wounded soldiers and fell down because of that huge storm that we had, it left the other ones more vulnerable and weaker to start falling down. I just thought that was just a beautiful message from nature.
Nice. Very nice.
Anyways, that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Where do we go from here?
Oh, wherever you would like.
Where do you want to go? Is there a topic you want to discuss? Anything burning that has happened in the last 2 weeks that you'd like us to cover? They're growing chicken in a lab out of stem cells and creating meat that they're going to sell off to the people? Or do you want to talk about the burning of 42 million rubber tires? And then we're worried about cow farts as
42 million tires. Where was this?
Yeah, I saw a report recently that 42 million tires were burned. And I'm like, they're worried about cows farting and therefore worsening the air and creating climate change. And, you know, you've seen in New York, they're getting rid of coal ovens so that we can lower the carbon footprint, but yet they don't do anything about stopping the number of buildings they're making, and nor are they doing anything about the cars that are coming in and the buses. But it's really the coal ovens that's making the problem. And it's the cows and it's the chickens, and we're going to have lab-grown meat. People, please start supporting your farmers if you haven't already. Please start. Please continue, because, you know, they're doing stuff over here while we're looking over there. And please make sure you spread the word, be vocal, call to action. Go to your farms, go to your farms, go to your farms.
That's really disgusting. I didn't know anything about all those burning tires. I mean, you know, Larry, sometimes when you keep getting all of these reports, I mean, it just seems like, and I understand why people grow weary and they just don't want to stay in the fight, because it seems that the evidence is so overwhelming and there's more court cases and there's more this and there's more that, and it shows what this is. And it doesn't seem to make a bit of difference. Nothing, the machine doesn't slow down. The machine isn't even forced to change direction. And nothing in terms of justice seems to change. I can understand why people get discouraged.
Well, I'll take a different viewpoint on that. I think it's a waste of time to wait for the justice to change, because we're looking for the institutions around us to actually do the things that they're not going to do. Although I will give a kudos to the federal judge in Missouri and Louisiana that disallowed the censorship from the White House. But nonetheless, I mean, I don't know why we keep looking for the system to actually do the right thing. It's got to come from the people doing.
Yeah, but what can the people do?
Well, again, I mean, we don't have enough people educated to stop putting their money into the places that are supporting the very institutions that are trying to kill us. You know, and, you know, we've had this discussion in the past where if you want the vaccine system to crash, stop buying it. Just stop purchasing it. You're not going to get them to pay for what they've done. Who's going to get them to pay? Most of the people who are really responsible end up slipping out the back door when the ultimate, you know, reveal happens. And then they go to some country and get immunity and nobody hears from them ever again. But we don't, you know, like if I go into a store that's not allowing you to use cash, I just stop going. But people just say, okay, I'll just take out my card, because they don't realize that they're being squeezed. Go to places where you're going to spend your money for the right reasons in the right way. Otherwise, justice is not going to happen from the outside. And again, I mean, that's pretty radical. I mean, but you have to keep talking to people and saying, why do you go to a store that only accepts cards? Or why do you keep buying this product? Well, but I have to, because I can't get my kid into school. Well, your kid might not be the same kid going into school if you give your kid that product. Yeah, but I want my kid to get an education. What education? What education is your kid getting? I mean, we just keep taking part in the society and then asking them to do better. Why would they do better? It has to come from us, but not enough people. You know, I had a patient in the office. The mother is in healthcare and the child had a febrile seizure after a vaccine, a week after the vaccine. And the mother's comment was, well, I'm going to do everything I can to prevent my kid from getting a fever. I'm like, okay, but what about the vaccine that might have contributed to the fever? Oh, maybe I'll just space them out. I mean, really? You know, so I think we're looking for justice in the wrong places. We need to do the justice on the ground. And, you know, I wanted to play this little clip because I thought that it could tie into what we were just talking about.
Like totalitarianism.
I can't get it. Hold on a second.
Yeah. And then the Democratic Party is doing a bunch of things to make sure that I can't, that even if I win all more votes than Joe Biden, that they won't count. Oh, the Democratic Party thinks that I may win New Hampshire, so they've removed Joe Biden from New Hampshire, and they say that if any candidate, they've passed a rule that says any candidate who actively campaigns in New Hampshire at the delegates they win will not be allowed to into the convention. And that now what they're saying is they're going to extend that so that if you campaign in New Hampshire, which I've already done, that any votes that you get in Georgia won't count for you either. And this is what they're doing. So I don't know, you know, then my name won't be able to appear on the ballot in Georgia if I campaign in New Hampshire. That's what the DNC is up to now.
I mean, so, but I thought Democrats are saving democracy. This seems like the opposite of democracy. Seems like totalitarianism.
It's not a good template for democracy, this election cycle. There are no debates. And then the Democratic Party is doing a bunch of things to make sure that even if...
Now that should be spread so far and wide. And how is that okay? How is that okay? Where are the people in society that say, I'm a supporter of Biden, but that's not democracy. That's not democracy, where you're actually stopping debate, you're actually changing the rules, you're squeezing out a candidate because you're afraid that he might wipe the floors with Joe Biden. Come on. I mean, wow. It's that kind of stuff that needs to go so far and wide. And he's gaining momentum. He's gaining a lot of momentum. I mean, there was a recent, I think it was a Gallup poll that showed that he's leading every single candidate in the polls. Now, again, my interest is not, will he win, will he not win? My interest is, this man has more to say of value than any of the other candidates in the moment, in the midst of what's going on in the world today. That's corrupt. And he's shedding light on all of it. I just keep hoping he's safe, and I keep hoping he gets as many platforms as possible, because he's speaking things that all the other candidates are not speaking. I mean, maybe Marianne Williamson is speaking some of it. Maybe Ron DeSantis is speaking some of it. Trump doesn't talk about the subjects he's talking about.
What do you think about DeSantis and Newsom going to do this debate thing now?
Oh, really? I stay away from the news, so share with us what that is.
Oh, all I know is that Newsom has been challenging DeSantis to a debate over the way that each of them managed their state during COVID lockdowns.
Huh.
I mean, seriously. And DeSantis has turned it down several times, going, it's not worth my time. But just in the last day or two, he's finally said, okay, let's do it. Let's take the gloves off and let's go do it. So I think it's going to be rather interesting to see what happens when the two of them debate, you know?
I think it's a mistake. And the reason I think it's a mistake is because Newsom is not interested in debating. He's just interested in throwing material at DeSantis that people are going to believe is true. And it's going to tarnish who DeSantis is and what DeSantis has really done. Because Newsom is not a player above board. So I would not do it. Yeah, I wouldn't.
I'm not sure what flipped the switch, because it's been coming for a while. You remember when, you know, Long Beach and all the offloading of all the ships was shut down, and DeSantis said, "Come on, Florida's open. Come over here. We'll offload you." You know, we'll put in double the crews if we have to at the, on the cranes. We'll get it offloaded. And some did, but not as many as should have did, to go back around. He even offered to pay a portion of their canal fees and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't know what the real numbers were, but this is something that came to me today that I thought was pretty interesting. It's a, I don't know if you can see this. Oops, let me do this. Let me take this blurry thing away. Do you see that really pretty girl? So let me read what it says. See, she's kind of pretty. So it says, so this is the thing that got sent to me. It was a little TikTok thing. It says, This is Milia Sophia, a social media influencer who earns thousands of dollars and has more than 7,000 followers on a verified Twitter account, more than 40,000 followers on Instagram, and 100,000 followers on TikTok. Come on, stop. She shares with her diehard fans, the secret admirers, snaps from her vacations in Greece, Bora Bora, and the ultra-luxurious yacht. But in reality, this 19-year-old Finn doesn't exist. She is a creation of artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
This really pretty.
She looked it.
All those followers.
How many?
100,000 on TikTok, 40,000 on Instagram, and 7,000 on Twitter. And she gets paid thousands of dollars, for eyeballs. Probably people pay for ads on her platform. And she's totally fabricated. That's a total artificial intelligence creation. I think that's really frightening, Larry. I mean, when you think about how rapidly AI has been incorporated and this kind of stuff has been incorporated into our psyche, how soon is it going to be before we really are not going to be able to tell reality from non-reality?
Well, I mean, if they have their way, we'll all have chips under our skin and we'll be completely hacked and we will do exactly as they tell us to do. If they aren't already sending us DEWs, direct energy weapons, to manipulate our brainwaves. I don't know. We're going to find out. I still think there's going to be light at the end of this tunnel, but I don't know the fallout at all, but I still think it. So Imran Ahmed is facing congressional inquiry for the Disinformation Dozen report on US citizens. The Biden White House relied on CCDH's report titled The Disinformation Dozen in its unconstitutional pressure campaign against social media platforms to censor those, including RFK Jr., who CCDH maligned as anti-vaxxers, as per Jim Jordan. So let's see. Maybe the system is going to work in this case. I don't know. You know more about this than I do because you were one of the blessed to have been accused of creating 65% of all misinformation in the world on anti-vaccination.
Yeah, I wrote about that in one of my Substacks, and I said it was pretty funny that, the Federal Trade Commission sued Eric Napoody for $500 billion. By saying vitamin D and zinc was effective at preventing COVID. And I remember when it first started, it's been pretty grueling. I mean, Eric's one of my best friends. We talk pretty frequently. And I remember when it first started and he said to me that he, in one of the hearings or lawyer things that they had with the FTC, he said to them that he was quite flattered to think that his marketing team was able to generate $500 billion in offenses against the FTC. know, man, he said, I don't pay them enough. I mean, if they do that good of a job, that we have that kind of a reach to really, you know, show that to various people. He said, I should pay them more because they're doing a great job. He obviously meant that tongue in cheek, but seriously, it's, you know, I mean, what's going on in the world right now with all these governmental things? I mean, you know, next Wednesday is my hearing with my state medical board, you know, wow. So it's been 2 years in the coming. I can't talk about it too much in detail because I've been advised by my legal counsel to just sort of keep it under my wraps. They've accused me of nothing. And this has gone on for 2 years and they want to suspend my license over failure to cooperate. And we've cooperated on every single step and they've gone back 25 years into the history of the Ohio State Medical Board. They have never charged anybody and threatened to suspend their license over failure to cooperate, for which we have cooperated on every single step. In fact, I couldn't even understand why we were having a hearing. Couldn't we have said letter one, response one, letter two, response two, letter three, response three, letter four, response four, letter five, response five. We cooperated. We answered every single one of your silly little letters. So I can't talk about it a lot, but I will say that, I'm going to pull it up here before we leave here tonight. There is an email that if you're so inclined, I can't tell you what to do, but if you're so inclined to send an email to the state medical board, giving them a piece of your mind and saying that this is ridiculous and to leave me alone, I'll give you an email where you can send that to. But most importantly, I just, you know, and I'm fairly confident about, there's a big, long bunch of stuff I can't talk about really publicly, but I can say that we've got very deep plans and people say, are you worried? I would say on a scale of 0 to 10, somewhere around a 2 or 2.5, it is rather nerve wracking that this whole thing is going on, but they are so in the wrong. And we have a really, really good defense team, but I'm going to, while you're talking, I'll look up that email address and I'll post it. I'll have Cookie post it, but most importantly, just say your prayers. Just that all these people, they get what is deserved of them.
So what would happen if you did not answer them?
Oh, I'm not really sure. I mean, because that was the whole thing. It's like you failed to cooperate, but I cooperated. And like, you know, Tom Rentz is one of my attorneys on the team. And he said, you know, just because they didn't like your answer didn't mean you didn't answer them. And that was kind of the whole thing, you know? I mean, what would happen? The one thing that I have not yet legally been had anybody define to me, and I've got a whole bunch of attorneys that I'm working with on this, is what is the legal definition of license to suspend your license? What does that mean? What does that mean? You can't, it's not revoking your license. What is suspending your life? Does it mean I can't admit people to the hospital? Okay, haven't done that in 23 years. Does it mean you can't bill insurance? Okay, haven't done that in 25 years. Does it mean you can't write prescriptions? Okay, I've got other people who can in my office and I don't write that many prescriptions anyways. I mean, what does that really mean? Nobody can really define that for me. But, you know, just having people aware that this is next Wednesday. And I know that Coach Dave and Stephanie Stock and a few other people are kind of rallying people to come to the hearing, you know, just as a show of support. But I think the bigger show of support is just prayers, really.
Yeah, I mean, what gives them the power to do what they're doing?
Because they are the state medical board.
So?
Exactly.
So? All right. While you're looking for that.
I posted it already, Dr. T.
Oh, you did. You're just the best, Cookie.
Cannot practice, but can be reinstated. Well, wait a second. A medical doctor is only considered falling under their license if they write prescriptions and do procedures.
And bill insurance.
Bill insurance. So if you're not...
And admit people to the hospital.
Right. So if you're not doing any of that, you can still be a doctor.
Yes. And, you know, so that's what I've said to them. I said, it's like, you know, to various people, it's like, so I can't admit people to the hospital. I haven't done that in 25 years. Can't bill insurance. Haven't done that in 25 years. Can't write prescriptions. The only prescriptions I've really written in the last probably 15, 20 years is stuff, things for thyroid, bioidentical hormones, on the very rare occasion, an antibiotic, rare occasion. And I've got two patients in my entire practice that are on chronic narcotics. And that, you know, we fill out all the appropriate forms. We do all the stuff with, you know, everything like that. And just two out of thousands and thousands of patients. So somebody else in my office has to write those prescriptions. What else? What does that mean? And what they want to do is they want to sanction my license. They want to fine me $3,000. And they want me to sign an affidavit that I will answer their questions anytime they choose to ask them. No, I'm not doing that. I really thought, Larry, that they would come back with a much, much bigger fine and, like, you know, 6 months of community service or something like that, or, you know, something that would make me grovel in front of them. But this is really, really a horrible thing. And the reason I want to fight it and put God in the middle of it is so that when we win, hopefully it will be inspirational to other physicians who, you know, generally cower to the state medical board to say, no, I'm fighting you. You're in the wrong and we're coming after you. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But next Wednesday's the day. So next Thursday night, I'm critically thinking. And it's in front of the medical board. It's our response to their response. It's 5 minutes. You get 5 minutes in front of the state medical board. 5 minutes is all they give you. 5 minutes. What's that? What are you thinking?
No, I can't say what I want to say on in the public eye. I can't.
Can you do a nicer version?
That's why I asked the question, what would happen if you just didn't pay any attention to them?
Well, you have to, I think you have to respond to them. You know, because if that happens in anything in law, if people are accusing you of something, and if you don't respond, then you have accepted their accusations to be true and you fall underneath the, whatever the jurisdiction is of that accusation. That happens with the IRS, that happens with state law, that happens with any sort of civil procedures. I mean, you have to respond.
Okay. Go get them, Tiger.
Well, I just want to have everybody, you know, just prayerfully support that the outcome is in the best interest of everybody concerned. The best interest of me, it shines bright lights on, you know, God's in the hand, God's got this and he's in the middle of it. And that, you know, for the future of people that are doing this, they will stay strong and not allow tyranny to prevail in their personal lives.
Go get them.
Thank you.
Go get them. Go get them. I want to share a video with people. If they don't already know this, I want them to see it again. I want them to see it if they don't already know this.
I think very few people know, if any, when everything is finally going to just go, not just a recession, not a depression, but an economic collapse. All intentional, by the way. Because like COVID, how the problem was now solved by the solution that was 10 times worse than the problem when the problem was created for the solution. And I don't know if the devil, I don't know if it's like universal law that the devil has to tell us what he's going to do. So it's kind of this weird contractual thing, because we didn't say anything what was going to happen, then it did happen. And so now here's the consequence. But I want you to pay really close attention to what this guy is saying.
In a couple of decades, when people look back, the thing they will remember from the COVID crisis is this is the moment when everything went digital. And this was the moment when everything became monitored, that we agreed to be surveyed all the time, not just in authoritarian machines, but even in democracies. And maybe most importantly of all, this was the moment when surveillance started going under the skin. I think the big process that's happening right now in the world is hacking human beings, the ability to hack humans.
The only way to stop this is mass non-compliance.
The end. Yep. Totally agree.
Everything is fine.
Sorry?
Totally agree. I was looking for that little video that somebody, I can't remember where I got, where I saw it, of the guy that was in the UK that went into Aldi's and he wanted to buy a package of strawberries. What?
I saw it too.
So he wanted to buy a package of strawberries and he laid the money in coin down on the thing. And they said, well, I'm sorry, we don't accept that. And he said, I'm taking my property that I have paid for and I'm leaving. I thought, good for him. Everybody was applauding him. Took his strawberries, you know?
Yeah, but there are other stores where you can't get into the store without a QR code. And then you can't leave without finishing off with a QR payment. So those are already in Europe. And I think already in the UK.
They're starting.
Yeah.
They're not like everywhere, but they're starting. They're already starting it.
Yeah, buy local. That's why they want to take out the farmers. That's why they are buying up all the farmland so that there's nothing left for us to eat. They want to starve us. They want to poison us. They want to pollute us. They want to take away our ability to think. They want to squeeze us. And again, people don't realize that they have the ability to not comply. Do not comply. I would love to see people take their kids out of school. Love to see that. What a coup that would be. Let's see. Let's see if there's a question here. Yeah, it's a good question. Dr. Artis had researcher Morley Robbins on saying zinc, vitamin D, and vitamin C completely wipe out, deplete copper. Our soil is devoid. Can you comment? Yes. No zinc should be taken without copper. And the ratio that I've heard is 10 to 1 or 15 to 1 zinc to copper.
Yeah. So you can give medical advice without, is called practicing medicine. I don't know. You can go into Trader Joe's and most any health food store that has people walking the floor. They've got, you know, $12 to $15 an hour employees walking around giving you great medical advice about what to take and what not to take and what to avoid and all that stuff. So I don't know. I guess it all depends on how you define yourself.
Many years ago, I was in New Jersey meeting with the state Senate Health Committee. And there was a woman on the committee who was a very staunch Democrat and liberal. And she was saying what she was saying. And I looked at her and I said, you do realize that you're practicing medicine without a license. And she looked at me and said, oh yeah, we do that all the time.
Yeah, well, pretty close, got it.
And I thought, wow. What a shocker. Anything else, Dr. T? Want to review anything else?
Are you going to be on with boot camp tonight?
No, tonight's not my night. Do you want me to be on tonight, Dr. T?
If you are so inclined, it might be delightful. You know, this is week 5 already, you know?
I know.
Week 5 already. This is the night that I'm talking about the reasons to leave the system. And I think you could add a lot to that conversation if you've got the time. If you don't, I understand. I love you no matter what.
I don't have a link. So Cookie, if you could send me a link, I would appreciate
already it. Already on it.
love you, Cookie. Thank you.
Oh, man. Yeah. And don't forget, yes, I was just set up, wasn't I?
Yes, you were.
So eloquently as well.
Yes, and gently, and you just complied.
See, there's a letter right here. S U C A E R. And then it says born every minute on the bottom.
No, it says, you know, it says across my forehead, we love you, Dr. P.
That's what. Do you see the heart going like this? Critically Thinking with Dr. T and Dr. P, August 3rd, 2023. Remember, cardiomiracle.com. Great product. I keep using it. I use it with my minerals. Really good product. CT15 for your first order, 15% off. And of course, EMF SOL. Don't forget to get your products, have the experience, see how it works. I've had a number of kids in my practice who seem to have already quieted some of their nervous system issues. I have one kid, Dr. T, I don't think you heard me say this. There's a kid in my office who stuttered, and he came into my office, and I have two room harmonizers in my office, and they've been there for over a month. So the room is harmonized. And he stopped stuttering, went out to the bathroom with his mom, stuttering away, came back in the room, no stutter at all. And I looked at her and I said, what more do you want? What more do you want? So again, that's not for everybody, but it certainly can mitigate the harmful effects of the waves coming at you. And Dr. T, I am celebrating my birthday on Sunday.
You are? Oh, you are going to be 25 years old?
31.
31. Okay, 31. I get it.
Times two. Yep, 62.
Woo-hoo! 62.
Yep.
Only in years.
Only you know, I'm writing my Substack this for this Saturday. My Eye on the Evidence Substack is about, because when I did the interview last couple weeks ago on my Brightian.tv show, the two experts that I talked about the EMF, one was from Michigan, one was from St. Louis. And at the very end of the interview, just almost like off the top of his head, he said, you know, EMFs are strongly associated with pediatric leukemia. And I said, really? So I went out and on a cursory review of the of PubMed, there was just a ton of things. So that's what I'm writing about this weekend. And the one other guy, the guy was from St. Louis. They said there's a lot of products on the market, a lot, that it supposedly mitigate EMFs, and that they've actually tested these from EMF Soul, and they're one of the only ones that really, really do mitigate the EMFs in a house. He said they really have tested them. And then today, on the Defender, on the Children's Health Defense, their newsletter, one of the headliner articles is, FCC defies court mandate, delays review of cell phone radiation guidelines.
Yep.
They won that court case 2 years ago with 11,000 pages of evidence, and they still have refused to look at the evidence that shows that EMFs cause cancer and all kinds of other things.
Truth is irrelevant. The truth is irrelevant. 20 years ago, I was asked to give a lecture on a holistic approach to asthma. And I found an article from 1957 that showed that patients with asthma who were put in an increased electromagnetic environment increased their wheezing episodes. This was from 1957. And look how far we haven't come since then.
Haven't come, right? It's the key.
All right, guys.
We'll see you in a few minutes, Larry.
Yeah. I'll see everyone else next week. See ya. Bye, everybody. Thank you, Cookie. Thank you, Heather. Happy birthday, Heather.
Happy birthday, Cookie.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Heather. Happy birthday, Larry.
Happy birthday, Dr. P.
Everybody needs to say happy birthday to Larry. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dr. P. Happy birthday to you. Woo-hoo! and 60 more. And 60 more.
Oh, please. No.
Yes. All right.
Only if I don't push a walker. That's
all right. All right, everybody. Have a good night. Take care. Bye-bye.